How many of you can see our flowers that we have today? Okay. See? Everyone see? How in the world do you get flowers? Planting seed. So here we go. That's the first thing you have to do. I have some soil and have a nice shovel from Dairy Queen. So I have these seeds. Oh my goodness, they are tiny. So you can't see these seeds because they are so small. But trust me, I did put seeds in my hand, and I'm going to till the soil, and I'm going to plant these seeds. Okay? Cover it up. And what do seeds have to grow? Water. Okay. And they need sunlight, and they need time. Everything has to be right. And what comes after you plant the seed, then what is the little thing that comes up? Sprouts, seedlings. So this is, do not come up here and look and see what this is. It was the only seedling I could find. So you're so far away, you really don't know that it's not a Shasta daisy. But first we have the seed and we plant it in the soil. And then comes the seedling, and then we have the mature plant, right? So I want you to just be looking at that as we go through the rest of the service today. Think on that. I want to welcome everyone this morning. Also want to just welcome Bobby again. For those of you who don't know her, she's a dear sister in the Lord, who's been here many years and moved to Texas. She just wanted to learn how to talk like me and Mark. But she can't do that in Texas. She's got to go somewhere else, Georgia. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come this morning, and God, I just humbly submit myself before you. You are God, and your word is sufficient. I am but a servant, Lord, and frail at that. There is no frailty in you, O God. There is no lack in you. And so I come to you, Lord, with all of my frailty and with all of my lack. And I ask you, Lord, that you would supply what is needed for this vessel to speak for you today and to stand in front of your people. Your people are precious to you and very costly. With all humility, Lord, I confess that, and I know that, Lord. I know how precious they are to you, and I know how great your word is, Lord. Only you, God, can magnify your word, and only you can pierce the hearts and change those who are hearing it. So, Lord, my hope is in you and what you will accomplish today with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I was thinking on the times that we are living in. You know, they are tumultuous times. They could be scary times when we hear the news or we hear the reports. We could be frightened by them. But we don't have to be afraid. Those who have put their hope and trust in the Lord don't have to be afraid. When we are afraid, you need to know that it is not coming from God. but it is coming from God's enemy. And you hear, I know that we talk a lot about the last days, living in the last days. And we all agree that we are living in the last days. And we read in the book of Revelation, or we read in Zechariah, or we read in the book of Daniel about all of these things that are to happen. But for us, we don't have to worry about those things. If we were not believers, we would have to worry about those things, and we would be running to and fro trying to prepare. And I don't know if it's going to make sense. I know the Holy Spirit can make it make sense to you. I have some notes over here that I may not use, but I brought them in case I do need them. But the title of this sermon is Preparation. It's preparation. We hear a lot about preparing, don't we? Different ministries are telling their congregations things to do to prepare for the days ahead. And I've thought about that. I remember when 1999 was turning into the year 2000, and how there was going to be chaos and people needed to be prepared. Well, it came and went without event. And so people rest in that. There have been different things, and we've thought to be prepared, and they come and go. But as we continue to live in these last days, and we see the things that are happening in the world, in the political world, and in the natural world, with the elements, it gives us cause for concern and to think, you know, what is going to happen? So I believe the Lord gave me the word preparation. Preparation. I appreciate Jeff Griffiths, and I appreciate Fran, because when it comes to really teaching and preaching end time messages, they are right on the mark. They really do such a good job. And I'm not as eloquent in preaching end time sermons, but this is what I believe the Lord has given me. In Matthew chapter 24, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at verses 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So, the days of Noah. Jesus speaks about this when the disciples are asking him, what is it going to be? What are the signs going to be? And he says that one of the signs are as the days of Noah. And so I thought, well, let's turn back to Genesis. Preach our end time message out of Genesis. And let's look at chapter 4. That's where I want us to look at first, chapter 4. And look at verse 3. He said, it'll be as in the days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah? In verse 3, if you'll look, it says, In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Okay. Now, just reading over that first glance, we don't think anything about it. He brought an offering. And he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. We know that Cain, he was a farmer. And that Abel, his brother, he was a shepherd. He tended animals, and Cain tended the fruit of the ground. But when it was time to worship the Lord, to bring an offering before the Lord, Cain brought the fruit and the vegetables that he had grown. Well, what is wrong with that? God had already prescribed a way. They were to bring an offering of a lamb. I'm sure it was a lamb. They were to bring an offering, and they were to sacrifice that offering to the Lord. Blood had to be shed. And so Cain decided that he would bring his own offering. He would make his own way. In other words, he would have the church service that he wanted. So in the days of Noah, you had false worship. That was what was going on. There was false worship. Let's look at verse 8 in chapter 4. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and he killed him. Here we have murder. We have Cain, the brother of Abel. He kills him because he's jealous. So what is going on in the days of Noah? We have false worship and we have murder, even within a family. There's a brother who has decided that this is the way we're going to worship God. This is how we're going to do it. But his brother wants to do it the way God has said to do it. And he doesn't like that. So he's going to have his false worship, and he's going to kill his brother who wants to worship the way God has said to worship. That's what's going on in these days. Now let's look at verse 16. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So what does Cain do? If he can't have church service the way he wants it and have God there, so what's he going to do? He's just going to leave the presence of God because he's going to do it his way. He doesn't even need God there to have a service. He's killed his brother who brings conviction to him. And so he leaves the presence of God with no thought, just so that he can have the worship service the way he wants to. And so Cain begins to have a family, is what Scripture records. And it says that he tells us that he builds a city, and he names it after his son. If you look at verse 19, then Lamech, he is one of the ancestors of Cain, then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zilpah. So what is happening now? Now we have polygamy introduced. God created Adam and Eve, one man, one woman. They were to be together. And so it was one man for one woman. But now Cain, with his false worship that he's introduced to his family, and as he's reproducing, he's teaching them false worship, he's teaching them jealousy, he's teaching them murder, and now they've learned something new. Let me have two wives. If one wife is good, two has to be better. How many would say, no way? No way. Not in my house. It would not be a good thing. So we have polygamy. And then we see with Cain's descendants that they become herdsmen, musicians, and craftsmen. And also, I want you to look at verse 23. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So here we see them beginning to create their own law. Avenging himself. Who does vengeance belong to? The Lord. The Bible tells us that vengeance belongs to the Lord. But here is man. He's creating. God told Cain when he left, he said that he was to be a wanderer in the wilderness. But Cain was so rebellious to the Lord, so disobedient, that he said, no, I'll build a city. Not only will I build a city, but I'll name it after my son. I'm going to name it after my offspring. I'm going to name it after those that I'm going to bring forth who are not going to worship you, because I'm going to show them a different way to worship. I'm going to take them down a different path. I'm not going to take them down the way that you have prescribed, that you said that there had to be blood shed. No. I'm going to bring plants and vegetables, and it's going to be on my terms, and I don't even have to have you there, God. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, we've lived... We've been around here, mankind's been around for almost 7,000 years, and we think, oh my goodness, look how man has fallen. This is what was happening in the days of Noah. There were just no newspapers or TV newscasters to report it. But we see that Adam has another son. He has a son to replace Abel. His name is Seth. And from Seth, we have three men that I want to look at. We have Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah. And then we're going to get into Noah some. But let's look at Enoch. I want us to see what Scripture records about Enoch. Let's turn to Hebrews 11 in the New Testament. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. It says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." How did he please God? Verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So we see that Enoch, now remember, Enoch did not die. He was translated into heaven. But it says that he was taken away. He did not see death. For before he was taken away, he had this testimony. You know what? I would underline that. I'd write that somewhere. He had this testimony. We like to give our testimony. But Enoch didn't give his testimony. The Holy Spirit wrote his testimony. And his testimony was that he was a man of faith. And he pleased God because he was a man of faith. It says that's the only way you can please God. We look for all these things to please God. We try to do all these things to please God. We like to give food for the food pantry so we can please God. We like to give clothes so maybe we can please God. We like to come to church and mark it off so we can please God. We like to give our offerings so maybe we can please God. You cannot please God with those things. It is faith. And faith will cause you to do those things. But it is faith that pleases God. And Enoch so pleased God that God said, "I need you up here with me now. I want to be with you and I want to fellowship with you. I don't want this flesh interfering. So come on up, Enoch." And Enoch went on up. And then let's look at Jude. Just before we get to Revelation, but Jude verses 14 and 15. This is what Jude has to say about Enoch. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" Here is Enoch. He is seventh from Adam. Adam is still living. Adam still has the testimony of creation. He still has the testimony of naming the animals. He still has the testimony of meeting with God in the cool of the garden. He and Eve, he has that testimony of waking up and there is Eve. Whoa, man. Whoa. And Enoch knows him. And what is Enoch? The Bible calls him a prophet. He was prophesying about those who were going to be ungodly. He was prophesying to the ungodly at his time. We think we live in such perilous times. We think that men are so evil today. We think that in the Old Testament that it wasn't as hard as it is today. That people weren't quite as wicked as they are today. We are so much more advanced than they were then. Seven generations from Adam, this is where man is. Seven generations from Adam. Adam, the first man who I would think didn't have a belly button. If he didn't have any other testimony, he could just lift his shirt and say, "Look, I don't have a belly button. I was created by God. I mean, it was his hands. He took the dirt. He made me. Look." He told them about the sacrifice. He could show them the clothes that he and Eve were clothed with.
You would think that would be enough to make you believe, right? To believe in God and not to go off on some crazy direction, not to be seeking your own way. That's what the scripture records about Enoch. He pleased God. He was a prophet and he was a preacher. Enoch! Now then there was a man named Methuselah. And his name, when he was born, his father was prophesying about what was to come. And he was preaching, and he had a testimony of faith without going around saying, "Let me give my testimony at this service tonight. I want to tell you I'm a man of faith." He did not have to do that. It was evident to everyone who was around him. He had a son named Methuselah. And it's recorded that he's the oldest living. He lived the longest. Let me get this right. 969 years, am I right? And Methuselah knew Adam, and he knew Noah. He's that little mark in between. He knew both of them. And his name means, when he dies, it shall come. When he dies, it shall come. So everywhere he went, and he introduced himself, and he said, "My name is Methuselah, nice to meet you." He was saying, "When I die, it shall come. When I die, it shall come." Every time someone met him, he was saying, "When I die, it shall come." What was coming? The judgment of God. I know that I say that so much, and people don't want to hear it, and they want to run to the far corners. But judgment is coming. Judgment has come for those who have put their hope and their faith in Jesus. I don't have to face that judgment because He has already borne it for me on the cross. But there is a world out there that has not. So we see that Enoch is Noah's great-grandfather and Methuselah is his grandfather. And then we have Noah. So I want us to look and see what Scripture says about Noah. Enoch's testimony is recorded that he pleased God because he had faith. Methuselah's name was his testimony wherever he went. Now let's look at Noah. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, when it talks about and when Lamech has a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." His name Noah, it means rest. Now let's turn to the New Testament and let's see what the Word of God says about Noah. Let's look at Hebrews 11:7. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith." Now what did we already hear about faith in verse 5? We heard that Enoch had faith and it was his testimony and it pleased God. And in verse 6 tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." And so as the Holy Spirit was recording this, in verse 7, he just starts off, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." The world was condemned with every nail that went in to the ark. With every board that was nailed up, the world was condemned as righteous Noah nailed that ark together. It was his faith as he was building that ark on dry ground, not near the ocean, but on dry ground. Now let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter's talking about the fallen angels. And then he said, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, says he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. He says that he was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah was a preacher also. He was following in the footsteps of his great-grandfather. He was following in the footsteps of his grandfather. He had faith. He was a man of faith. Now, what does that have to do with preparation? What does that have to do with preparation? I want you to think about that. I want you to keep thinking about that we're talking about preparation. Preparation for the times that we live in. Preparation for the end times. In Genesis chapter 6, if you want to turn back there, it says that it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that's all I'm going to read, that part of that scripture. Men were multiplying, okay? So there were men being born exponentially. The earth was being populated. Look down at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So every intent, every imagination of the thought of his heart was continually evil. This was Noah's day. Remember, it started off with false worship, it started off with murder, and it started off with leaving the presence of God. Now men are multiplying. This is about 1,600 years after the fall in the garden. This is about 1,600 years. Here man has come. This is the patience and the long-suffering and the mercy and the grace of God that some people tell you that's not in the Old Testament. But here it is, 1,600 years of man leaving the presence of God, deciding how he will worship God. And so what does it do when man leads anything? It only brings forth evil. It only brings forth destruction. Outside of God, we can do no good. Imagination in Hebrew means to fashion as a potter. It means to fashion as a potter. Men fashioned wicked philosophies. And then they came up, they decided they would have polygamy. They formed obscene artifacts for their gods. And whatever their heart thought of, that was what they practiced. Whatever their heart thought of. Is it much different today? Jesus said that what would be the signs? It would be as in the days of Noah. He's telling you, we're looking. Jesus, we want to know when you're going to return. When are you going to return? What is going to be the sign? What are the signs of your return? Now, I'm not reading all of those to you. I'm focusing in on this, that we can see. We should be able as Christians, Enoch, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, please God. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and the beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. He was sorry that he had made them because they were so corrupt. 1,600 years of long-suffering, bearing with man. It's been 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 years, right at 2,000 years since Jesus came to reconcile man to God. There was a great revival at the beginning, wasn't there? Men heard and their hearts were pierced and they turned. They knew they needed a Savior. But seeds of deception crept in. It only takes one little seed. Seeds of deception crept in. It was put in fertile soil. And it was watered and it was nurtured. And up came a seedling, a false church, to be beside Christ's church. What we're seeing today, we think, oh, just a few years ago, it wasn't like this. I've just been pondering and thinking on these things and reading the reports about what's going on in the church world today. Folks, these seeds were planted a long time ago. What we're seeing is a mature plant. It is a mature plant today. And it is ready. It is getting ready for the harvest of the Lord, because the Lord is going to harvest it, isn't he? When he comes, and he comes to his church will be gathered into his barn. But the false church will be gathered and thrown on the fire. What I'm sharing with you this morning in Genesis, what I want you to see is that the message that we have today is no different than the message that Noah had. We want to go around and we want to tell everyone about the love of Jesus. I know that the Lord loves me. But if you tell people that Jesus loves them, then they say, well, why is he going to send me to hell? Why is he going to judge me? You have to first get them to understand their lostness and their need. And they don't understand that. I want you to see that sometimes you think, people just don't listen. The earth is so corrupt and it was filled with violence. Is it any different today? It's not any different. And in verse 12, I want you to look at verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. When he says all flesh, he is not talking just about man and woman. He is talking about the animals. Satan had so corrupted the flesh of mankind. Animals were corrupt. Humans and animals. You just have to understand, so I don't have to explain any further. But in verse 8, it said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to see, it was nothing, it was no merit in Noah, but it was the grace of God. His bloodline was not corrupted. Noah is the 10th generation from Adam through the line of Seth. Just a little tidbit for you. The number 10 in Hebrew often symbolizes completion. And so this was the pre-flood days. They're reaching their climax, completion. In Genesis 6, 13 through 22, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them. I will destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, and make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. And he tells him the size, the dimensions of the ark. In verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, he tells him what to bring in, two of some, seven of some, the birds and the creeping things and all the animals. He tells him to gather food for himself. In verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Noah did everything that God had commanded him to do. He said all flesh was corrupted. I want you to see that Noah had a word from God. What was that word that Noah had from God? He had a word of coming judgment. He had a word of coming judgment. In Noah's day, what were they doing? They were doing business as usual. They were marrying. They were eating. They were having a family. They were building homes. But the earth was corrupt, and everything in it was corrupt. I want you to think about this. You may say, well, people just won't listen. I want you to think. God said, he said in Genesis, he said, you know, my spirit's not going to strive with man forever. It means he's not going to abide with man forever. He said 120 years. He didn't tell Noah that. He just told Noah to build an ark. He told him how to build it, what it was to be built of, the dimensions that it was to be built. So Noah begins building that ark. It takes them 100 years to build this ark. And in that 100 years, Noah is preaching. How many of you get tired of preaching in 3 months, 6 months when no one listens? How many of you get tired of doing ministry in a year, in 2 years when no one listens? How many of you get tired? How many of you get tired of teaching Sunday school when kids go berserk on you? How many of you get tired of coming to church when it's like, where are the people? of you get tired of doing the work that God's called you to do? Because nobody listens. Nobody's changing. They're all doing their own thing. They're out there working, building their houses, mowing their lawns, doing what they want to do, what they do every day. And you've only been saved 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 15 years. Well, I'm tired of this. Noah, for 100 years, gathered his family. Now, it doesn't talk about Noah's sons. It talks about Noah's faith to lead his family. It talks about Noah standing against the world. It talks about Noah proclaiming the word of God that judgment is coming. There is a flood coming. Do you see what I'm building? No one in the world believed him. Do you feel bad now that you're in a small church? Maybe you should be in a big church. Have so many more programs in a big church. Have so many more things for your kids in a big church. Who wants to be in this little church? Pastor Mark must have it all wrong. No one believes him. No one wants to listen to him. Look at all the empty seats. If I can have something better to do, I don't even want to come. Why does he keep preaching? What kind of message does he have? People come and go all the time. Nobody wants to stay. No one in the world believed Noah. Oh, but we love to read about Noah. We love to tell the story about Noah. Noah was this great man. Noah was building an ark. By faith, he was building an ark on dry land. By faith, he didn't have anybody but his three sons, three daughters, and his one wife. He had a word from God. He was where he was supposed to be. And he was doing what he was supposed to do. Everyone in the world mocked him. You have got to be kidding. Do you realize how long the world has been around? You think you're the only one with truth? Yeah, right. No one in the world confirmed. Nobody else was preaching that message. Okay, family, now I know what Pastor Mark's saying at that church, and you know, I just don't think he's right. Look at all these other churches. They say that revival is coming, that God wants to bless us with money, and we can have that new SUV if we want. We'll have all the gas to put in it. Things are good. But Pastor Mark's over here talking about persecution. Nobody else is saying it. There was no one confirming that message. What Noah was preaching. No one. Do you understand? Do you think that there were only, there were probably 1,000 people on the earth that day, during the days of Noah? Oh, no, no, let's 10,000. Probably 100,000 people. Now, kids, listen to me. There weren't that many people on the earth. 1,600 years, there were millions of people on the earth. Millions. There were old people. There were young people. There were middle-aged people. There were teenagers. There were children. There were babies. There were babies in the oven. Everyone in the world believed his message was false. No one in the world was sympathetic to his efforts. Everyone in the world watched as he worked. Everybody, day after day after day after day. See, now, you only come to church on Sundays to hear a sermon. And some come on Wednesday night to hear teaching so that they can grow. But some only come on Sunday morning just to hear teaching. And some come Sunday night to hear more teaching. Noah, every day of his life, he was preaching. He was putting together the way of escape. No one in the world helped him, loved him, or even smiled at him. Praise the Lord, you guys come along and you encourage Pastor Mark, or you say, you know, that message was good. I needed that. That was for me. I'm so glad to be plugged into the body of Christ. Noah did not get that. Everyone in the world thought he was the most insane man in the world. No one had ever built a boat of this dimension. No one built boats of any substance far from water. No one understood how there could ever be enough water in which to drown all of life. Why would God judge the world today? Look at these big churches and how they're flourishing and how they're going to bring about world peace. They're going to usher in the kingdom of God. Man is going to usher in the kingdom of God because he's going to make peace. They're going to solve all the social ills. No one could understand how he could get all the animals on board, let alone in the right sexes and numbers, and let alone feeding them, let alone surviving among them. No one could understand how they could all be so wicked. How can we all be wrong? How can all of those big churches, how can all those pastors on TV, how can all of these books that we read, how could they all be wrong? You by yourself, you must be wrong. You do not have the Word of God. You must be wrong. Jesus said it will be as in the days of Noah. It's going to be a sign. No one could understand a God of this sort of judgment. No one could understand a God that had this opinion of sin's penalty. And no one could understand a God this holy. Aren't we glad we're not Noah? God has a message for us. Now, if you know that God has a message for you, I want you to say amen. If you don't know that God has a message for you, I want you to say, I don't know. You're afraid to. The message that God has for you, for the body of Christ here, I want you to hear this so that when you stand before the Lord, you can say, well, I didn't know. They never told us. He is returning. And judgment is coming with him. Do you understand? Judgment is coming with him. I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that with an arrogant attitude. I am so fearful for those who do not hear, who will not hear. Say, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to make my own way to worship. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to leave your presence, and I'm going to have all the feelings I want, and I'm going to multiply, and I'm going to reproduce, and I'm going to teach everyone to follow after this way. The day we live in is no different than Noah's day. The people on the earth today are spiritual. They were spiritual in Noah's day. They were spiritual. They were seeking after false gods. Let me tell you something. God created mankind with a desire within us to worship. And we will worship something. If we do not worship God, I'm just going to tell you, if you do not worship God, you can say, well, I believe in God, and I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're a liar. Now, maybe no one's ever told you that clear. I'm going to tell you, you're a liar. Do you think you can stay home and not worship God with the body of Christ? You're a liar, and you're probably not a Christian. Do you hear me? You're probably lost and on your way to hell, the place that God has reserved for those enemies of His. The place is real, and it's coming, just like the flood came. People did not think it was coming, but it came. It is recorded. Jesus is going to return. You think, oh, too much time has passed. The time has not passed. He knows the perfect time, and He's coming back. And you can sit back on your laurels, and you can deceive yourself, and you can go over there, and you can worship in front of the mirror. You can worship in front of your bank account. You can worship in front of your house. You can worship your friends. You can worship your family. You can worship religion. But I'm telling you right now, there is only one way for you to be saved. You have to come upon the ark of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The blood that was shed, that was poured out for every man, woman, and child who will believe and call on His name. He says it's faith. It's faith. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's not what you dream of. It is what this Bible says. It says it is faith. faith. Noah had faith. Methuselah had faith. Enoch had faith. And it pleased God. Are you pleasing God? People are spiritual. People are spiritual. We make up our own little scenarios. We make up our own little feelings. Or our family may be this way. Well, I'm just going to make an allowance because God's so good and He's so loving. And your heart's so broken because they're so lost. So you just cover it over and you deceive your own self and your own mind because of your feelings. But I'm telling you, if you have not put your hope and your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you are lost. Your family is lost. Your loved ones are lost. Maybe you think your family is bizarre. They're bizarre. Because they worship God. They always talk about God and Jesus. God and Jesus. The Bible says, well, I can do what I want to do. Well, do what you want to do and keep going to hell. That is the place that is reserved for all of God's enemies. And if you are not for Him, you are against Him. When He came in Noah's day, they did not believe that He would do it. Noah could preach as they walked by, as they were coming by. He could preach, open-air preaching. We think, great. We have captive audiences in here. And some people here today are saying, I don't receive anything she says. I'll do it my way. Do it your way. Because I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm not God. God set a way. He set a way for Noah. He said it was the ark. It was the ark. It was the only way that anything that had breath would be saved. He has set a way for us. See, that was just a picture. And today, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. The message is being corrupted today, just like it was in Noah's day. God will not judge you. God, He is a God of love. He is a God of peace. The flood came. When the flood came, I want you to think about this. I want you to look around our congregation. Look at everybody. Turn to the left. Turn to the right. Look behind you. Have permission. Look at everybody. Think about downstairs. Leah has the children downstairs. Think about Carolyn. She's going to be having a baby. In the time of Noah, when the flood came, men died. Young men, old men. Women died. Young women, old women. They died. Children died, boys and girls. Babies died, boys and girls. Nursing mothers drowned. Pregnant women drown. The sick and the deformed drown. Ugh! What kind of God is that? That is a holy God. And who are you to judge Him? Who are you to say, well, that's not right. That's not fair. Oh, God, look over here. This poor old granny, you're going to cause her to drown? The poor old granny was an enemy of God. Oh, look at this little tiny baby. Are you going to cause this baby to drown? The baby was born with a heart of rebellion. God knows. You look at your children. Those who have children, do you love your children? Say amen if you do. You may not right now, but when they were born, you had your children, you loved them. All of us were somebody's baby. Somebody cared about us. And the thought of someone taking our baby and drowning our baby, or when Jesus comes and when the fire comes, we think, oh, that's so horrible. And so we attribute human opinions, human emotions to God. We have no understanding of His holiness, of His righteousness. You cannot look into a heart. All you can look is the exterior. God's looking at the heart. The thing that pleases Him is faith. And all I can say about Noah's sons is they were on that ark because of faith of their father. And they had sense enough to follow their father. They weren't stupid like the rest of the world. These boys, and they grab hold of their wife, I'm just thinking, and they said, "Look, honey, my dad's building this ark, and my dad has always told me the truth, and you're going to just help. Come on, bring that board over here, nail it up, we're going in that ark." By faith. By faith. All flesh was corrupt. What word do you have from God? What word do you have from God? You have the word that Jesus is returning and judgment is coming. In Matthew 24, 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." I can't tell you when He's going to return. I can't tell you how long you're going to have to work. I can't tell you how long you're going to have to be a preacher of righteousness. I can't tell you those things. I don't know those things, but He has left us signs, and His return is closer. It's closer than it was when I was born. Noah did not know the time. He knew to build an ark. He knew to preach the judgment of God coming. He knew to live by faith. Noah was a man of faith. He was not a sinless man. How many of you think he was a sinless man? He was not a sinless man. Noah was a man who worshipped God, and Noah worked on the ark, which was a testimony against the world. Noah was not popular. He did not have friends, and he had no influence. Noah stood alone. But Scripture records that Noah pleased God. Let me tell you something. When you say the things that I'm saying, or you read, just stand up and read the Scripture. Just read these Scriptures. Read the New Testament letters. You will not be popular. You take a stand for righteousness and you're going to stand alone, because your friends want to compromise. Your family wants to compromise. Those that are in your life, they want to compromise and they want to live a different way. And I'm telling you, standing on the outside looking in is not a good place to be. We always want to be popular. We want people to like us. Starts as a child. You know, when our parents go, "Oh, that's so cute." And we do it again. And we do it again. Until we're just like, "Okay, sit down." Same thing. We just continue it. Do it in different ways as an adult. We listen to a dirty joke and people laugh and we go, "Oh, do it again. Oh, do it again. Oh, do it again. Oh, do it again." We just got bigger bodies, older bodies. If you want to be liked, if you want to be popular, if you want to have a lot of influence, want a lot of people around you, tell the world what they want to hear. Tell them there was no Jesus. He was just a good man. Oh, go ahead. It's okay. Go to the bar, drink a little bit. Oh, you can smoke a little dope. Oh, you want to have an affair on your husband? Go ahead. I know he's a jerk. Oh, your wife, she doesn't understand you? Call the hotline. Oh, your parents are stupid. Why don't you tell them how stupid they are? Do what you want to do. Oh, leave your kids at home. Go out and party. Your parents? Oh, don't worry about them. Don't take care of them. Let the government take care of them. Go to church. I'm a Christian. I don't have to go to church. Serve the Lord. Read my Bible. I don't have time for that. I know what it says. Jesus is just a good man. How are you going to prepare the time that's coming? Enoch prepared by being a man of faith. Noah prepared by being a man of faith. I'm prepared by being a woman of faith.
My faith is in Jesus. My faith is not in Mark, what he can do for me. He's my husband. We're in a temporary covenant. But my faith is in the Lord. My faith is not what the government can do for me, because the government can do nothing for me. My faith is not in what the doctors can do for me, because they can do nothing for me. Do you understand? My faith is not in what you can do for me. My faith is what Jesus has done for me. How are you going to be prepared? You're going to have your faith in the Lord. And God will take you through it. If you go through this word, if you go through this word and you look, Jesus says he's coming back. He's not coming back to bring peace, but he's coming back to bring judgment. The difference between us and Noah's day is that there are a multitude of preachers of righteousness. We are not alone, folks. God has those out there who believe and who have faith in God. They're not putting their faith in the government or the faith-based programs, but their faith is in the Lord. God took care of Noah when he was ready to destroy and wipe out everything. Those who had put faith in him, he took care of them. He took care of them. The children of Israel, when they were in bondage and God was ready to deliver them, he brought them out. He brought them out with a strong arm, and he took care of them. God is able. That's where you have to put your faith. Otherwise, I want the thing about this little seed. This is the seed of sin. This is for the church. This is where you first believe a lie. It's a little tiny seed. It comes. Somebody tells you, don't believe that. Don't. You don't have to do that. Begin to justify something. It comes with a thought. The devil comes and speaks it into your ear. I want you to hear what happens to the church. The devil comes and he speaks. Look, folks, you need to look. The devil comes and he speaks a lie into your ear. You have fertile soil for that lie. And you water it because you think on it. And you nurture it and you keep it in the sunlight because you keep bringing it to your remembrance. And then comes a little seedling. And you take really good care of that lie. And then you have a mature plant, and it produces fruit. And it looks pretty, but it's a lie. It's called being backslidden. It's called being backslidden. You don't just fall into sin. Christians don't just fall into sin. They take a seed first, it becomes a seedling, and then it becomes fruit in their life. And they're backslidden, and they eventually, most people turn away from God. Because you believe a lie, and you begin to practice a lie, and you begin to produce the fruit of it. Your preparation for the time that is at hand is faith. It is faith in God Almighty. The writers of the New Testament told us what to look for. It gives us warnings. Tells us who to beware of. Folks, if you don't know, if you have no discernment, read what Paul and what the writers of the New Testament said. Read what Peter said. We have the good news. Judgment is coming. When the judge of all mankind comes, but he's prepared an ark. And we know where the door is. And God revealed to John the Apostle the end, the progression of the church. He revealed his glory, his kingdom, his power, his angels waiting for his word and his throne. He revealed to John his judgments on evil men. He revealed to John the new heaven and the earth. He revealed to John his victory. Have faith in God. Have faith that pleases him. Trust in him. And in these tumultuous times, that this is the only way you can be prepared. Gold cannot prepare you. Money cannot prepare you. Your house, your job, your insurance, stocks, bonds, all these things are perishing. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Everything is perishing.
Everything that man has created is perishing. Faith will take you through the fire. There was a flood, and God kept his man Noah. There was fire and brimstone, and God kept his man Lot. There were plagues, pestilence, and death of the firstborn, and God kept his people. God is able to keep you. The way to prepare is one word. It's called faith. Noah prepared the ark. Why? Because of faith. Noah went into the ark. Why? Because of faith. It says that Enoch's life was a testimony. It's a testimony of faith. I want to ask you this morning, what is your testimony? If the Holy Spirit recorded your testimony, what is recorded about you? Noah was the only one standing, and he was the only preacher. But it's not so today, is it? It is not so today. We are not standing alone. We have the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We have this gift called faith. No matter what comes, that God is able. You know, folks, don't be afraid. If you lose everything, if everything were to fall away, I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I know who holds tomorrow. Can I tell you that I will probably be upset? Can I tell you I might cry a little bit? Can I tell you I might say, oh, me, oh my. And then I'll cast my eyes to heaven. And the peace that passes all understanding will come and reside in me. Why? Because God's Word says it will, not because I'm trying to work it up. You may lose your job. You may lose your house. You may have a huge savings. I'm not saying those things are wrong. You may lose all of that. You may lose your health. You may lose your children. You may lose your parents. God is able. For every generation, those who have believed and put their faith in the Lord, God has brought them through. He's calling you now to stand. He's calling you to stand and believe. Put your hope and your trust in Him. Let's all stand. I don't know your heart. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're backslidden. I don't know where you are. But the Holy Spirit does. And if He has spoken to you today, I don't know if you have fear. The Holy Spirit does. I don't know where you are today. This is the day that the Lord has made. This day won't come again. He made this day. This day. He fashioned and formed it and brought us here today. Why? Because He wants to meet with you. If you need to be reconciled to God, this is the day. I'm not telling you to come to me. I'm telling you to come to God. If you have not put your hope and trust in the Lord Jesus, this is the day. Don't leave this place lost and on the road to hell. This is the day. If you've backslidden from the Lord, oh my goodness, He's so gracious. He's waiting. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is such goodness. Such a goodness that I can't even describe to you. So this is the time. This is the invitation from the Lord. Whatever your need is, do business with the Lord while it's called today.